Turning your Bibles, please, to the passage we've already read, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Today's message is a continuation of what we looked at last week, and I tried to capture it in a little bookmark for you, which you should find in your bulletin. And if you didn't get one, there are more out in the foyer in the rack above the guest book. On the one side of this bookmark, you see this phrase, "One thing is needful." This was a statement that Jesus said. And when you're hearing Jesus say something like this one thing, wow, you pay attention, don't you? This one thing is needful. And of course, Mary chose that good part, which was not to be taken away from her. She was where? Sitting at Jesus' feet, doing what? Listening to his word. So we understand that God's word is a priority, and Jesus makes that clear. One thing is needful. Today, we'd like to look at this statement, God's word is profitable. God's word is profitable. As you came to church today, the conversation in your vehicle, I have no idea what it was like, but it could have included something along the lines of, "Dad, why are we going to church today? Why are we doing this again? Why do we have to go every week?" Or, "Dear, do you sometimes fall asleep when pastor's preaching?" Yeah. It gets long. He can really talk a long time. "I just sometimes get bored of the scriptures. They just don't make sense to me. I mean, sometimes it's got big words and I don't understand what they are, and I just bypass it." I recently heard someone say they have a little devotional that they read, and they read the devotional, but they didn't read the scripture passage that goes along with it. Perhaps many of us could be guilty of that because, hey, we like the story part. We like the illustration because we really can connect with those. But the scriptures, well, we can bypass that. We don't need that part because anyway, the story is going to tell us what the scripture says anyway, right? As I grew up in a Christian home, but I don't remember, it probably was true, but I don't remember this. I don't remember someone sitting down with me and saying, "When you come to church and you sit under the teaching of the Word of God, you can expect these things. You can anticipate this." I never had somebody draw that out for me and say, "Listen, when you sit with the Word of God open on your lap, whether it's your personal time with God or it's your in corporate worship like this, you can expect these things to happen. You can anticipate God to work in your life in these ways." And the passage we're looking at today, this is exactly what Paul tells Timothy. And he tells Timothy that God's word is profitable, and he does it, and he says, for four different things. And this struck me, and I believe the church needs to be equipped with this, because perhaps more people are like I was growing up, and we just weren't hungry, or we didn't know what we could expect from the Word of God. You see, we need to come with this anticipation and with this appetite, much like you do when you come to the dinner table and you know it's pizza night. And you're excited and you anticipate that. You come to the Word of God and you know it will be profitable in your life. Now, very quickly, feelings will surface and try to distract you from that very purpose. I don't feel well today. Or I'm tired. I had a bad week. I don't need to hear the Word of God today. I mean, I did my devotions and I just don't feel like going to church today and sitting and hearing it again. You see, what God's Word does is establishes firm footing for us where our feelings do not. They're rocky, they're up, and they're down. They will lie to you. I mean, feelings are God gave us feelings, but we're not to live according to them. So, as we interact with the Word of God today, as you interact with the Word of God today, may the prayer of your heart, Lord Jesus, I know you want to make your word profitable in my life today. Oh, Lord, would you teach me? Lord, would you convict me? Lord, would you restore me? Lord, would you help me? The passage before us is a passage that Paul writes in the last letter that we know or we have as inspired scripture, very close to the end of his life. We believe he wrote this from a prison cell to a younger man in the faith, a minister of the gospel, preacher, we believe, ministering in Ephesus. As we began the passage in verse chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. We read, "But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." Timothy had an environment in his life from the time that the Apostle Paul met his mother, grandmother, led them to Christ and led Timothy to Christ. And the scriptures very quickly became a part of their home and a part of their life. And so they learned the scriptures. Verse 15 tells us that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able. Which are able. What does that tell you about the Holy Scriptures? You know, what you hold today in your hand, or more and more people, in a digital form, is more than just black and white, ink on a piece of paper, but it is the living Word of God that has the power to change lives, the power to change your life. This is why it's so exciting to know that you are here today, knowing that you would be sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, submitting yourself to its power. Perhaps some of you may make you a bit nervous. That's okay. The Holy Scriptures, which are able, they are able. They have power. They have power, what does it say, to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the Scriptures lead you to true salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. That is salvation. And the reality is that all people are sinners in need of a Savior. This is the way we enter into this world, dead in our trespasses and sins. And it is the Holy Scriptures that have the ability, that has the power to make you wise unto salvation. You see, the Scriptures, they are the needful part. We continue reading in verse 16, and it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration. The very breath of God. In other words, the Scriptures are the breathing out of God. If you're here today and you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe in God, some may be here. I'm fully aware that it has to be the work of God in your life to give you faith to believe this to be the Word of God. I understand that. But every person in here, God has done that and worked. Every person in here who has professed faith in Christ, God has brought them to that point. He's changed their lives. And He can do the same with you. Because this is the very breathed out Word of God that went through into holy men who wrote it down. Yeah. You see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here, we see this word, it's profitable. We like profit, don't we? Benefit. We like things that are profitable. You would not be in the business that you're in if it was not, at least sometimes, profitable. I know many of you, and I know you've got your ups and your downs. Sometimes it's a down year. Farmers, it's a rough year right now, isn't it? A lot of rain. The profitable aspect of it you may be struggling with. But the bottom line is we like to have things that are profitable. So this speaks to us as human beings. The very fact that God's Word says that it is profitable helps us realize that we are, as a people, we are in need of it. We need its benefits. You need God's Word in your life. It's a priority. It's needful. It's powerful. I trust that this Scripture draws you to anticipate time with God and His Word, to be excited, to be thirsty like you are on a hot day for that cold glass of water, to anticipate the benefits of God's precious Word. But listen, these benefits are very interesting. Because you may not look at them as benefits. In fact, sometimes the benefit and profit of the Word of God is to break you down and then put you back together again. There are four things. I put them on your notes there, but you'll see it in the Scriptures. You notice in the text, it is profitable for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This is just outlined perfectly for preaching. And you understand it. I don't have to make it fancy for you. The Word of God speaks for itself, and I trust the simplicity of it will help in building an anticipation for profiting from the Word of God. And by the way, I hope you realize money isn't mentioned here. Health and wealth is not mentioned here. I'm not talking about that kind of profit. You'll see that. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. So we can ask ourselves this question: as we sit under the teaching of the Word of God. In other words, this text will prepare you. So that's why I gave it to you in a bookmark form, so you can have it in your Bible. So as the preacher opens the Bible, you can say, Lord, am I learning something new today? Are you teaching me something? What is it that you are teaching me today? I realize that not every sermon is new information for you. Sometimes you may sit there and you say, Pastor, we've heard this many, many times before. That's why there's four things here. But let me ask you, are you a teachable person? Are you one who is willing to say, Lord, teach me? I've told you this before, but one of the greatest qualities that you can have as a Christian is to be a teachable person. Because that means you will approach God and you'll say, God, I don't have all that it takes. I need you to teach me. That makes a great student. Those of you that are teachers out there, you love students who are teachable, right? When they're willing to say, all right, teach me, fill me up, help me learn. The Word of God is profitable for teaching. And may the prayer of your heart be, Lord, teach me. But secondly, what do you see? Is you see reproof. And this is where it can get kind of hard. This is where it can be difficult. Reproof is another way of rebuke. Yeah. Of rebuke or conviction. And how does conviction take place? It is this comparison and contrasting of our lives with the truth. You see, as we interact with God's Word, as you sit there in your devotions or in church or wherever it might be, and you're in God's Word and you're saying, Lord, teach me, Lord, convict me. What God's Word is going to do is it always is going to give you God's truth. And that is going to be contrasted with your life. This is why people who are resistant to God do not like time in the Word of God, because what does it do? It brings them conviction. This is why people in the world have a hard time being around you Christians who are shining the light of the gospel, because what it does is it often will reveal where they're living in sin. And we're not perfect people, but God's Word always will minister its truth. And you can always trust it. And what happens is it will compare and contrast with your life, and you will see areas that need to change. That is profitable. And we have to stop looking at rebuke as wrong, as bad. As a church, listen, rebuke is a way of helping you be more like God, more like Jesus Christ. It is good and healthy for it to be a part of the fellowship of Jesus Christ, of the body of believers. And the Bible tells us how to accomplish that in a biblical way, in a proper way. But you know, the Word of God does it itself. It will rebuke you. It will cause conviction in your heart. This is profitable. This is good. The prayer, Lord, convict me, involves a willingness to be confronted on anything, any area of my life. And so as you come to the Word of God, come with this heart of saying, Lord, will you convict me of any area in my life that is not of you? Because I know that is profitable for my life and for the work of the gospel. Because you know, don't you? That those who call themselves Christians, but who do not listen to the conviction of the Spirit of God, who do not deal with sin in their life, who live hypocritical lives, they give Christ a bad name in the world. And so, listen, the scriptures need to have this effect in your life and mine, a conviction of sin. God did this in the life of David, and he spoke through his prophet Nathan. And through God's word, David was convicted of sin. This is good. Lord, teach me. Lord, convict me. Where am I wrong? Where am I wrong? Thirdly, you see the word correction. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for, now, correction. This is an interesting word in the original language. It has the idea of setting upright again. So it's the idea that when you come along and something's been knocked over, correction is setting it aright again. Now, you being an individual who's been just rebuked by the scriptures, you've been convicted of your sin, you know you need to repent, which is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. You've been knocked down, but you know the scriptures are able to set you back right. And that's the beauty of the Word of God, because it's not there just to cut people down and leave this vast path of destruction. Sin does that. Sin does that. We don't have to. Lord Jesus, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he talked about it. The world, people are already condemned. They're already condemned. Jesus came to save. Sin already destroys lives. And so the Word of God is profitable to set you back up right. That can be embarrassing, right? Because, hey, people might be watching your life and might see how you've been broken down, repentant, and now seeking to live rightly again. And it may be embarrassing. It may be hard. But, you know, it's that repentance. And it's the glorious work of God in a person's life. But see, this is the profit of the Word of God in your life. It is going to set you aright. You can trust it to do that. And I trust that gives you a sense of excitement. Because you know, just as I do, that there are times when you come, whether it's to church or come to the Word of God, you know things aren't right in your life, where you just need to be set back aright. You need to be refocused, a reorientation. You need, if you will, think of it, the Bible as a compass. And the compass will always point north. And so the Word of God always points to truth. And it is always going to help you and be profitable for you in your life. It's correction. I told you many times how I'm horrible with directions. I have a bad sense of direction. This is why God gave me Julia, my wife. And as we've grown in our marriage, we're at the point right now where we're driving along and she wants to honor me so much that she will just let me go. And I've heard it many, many times from the back seat of the van. Dad, why are we turning around again? Yeah, because I needed correction. I needed a reorientation because I just didn't have it right. We need that. And I submit to you that God's Word is the answer to that. So, Lord, will you teach me? Lord, convict me. Hey, Lord, restore me. Fourthly, we see what? Instruction in righteousness. Lord, will you help me? Yeah. Help me. Guide me. Lord, guide me. That word instruction is the word for training. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's the word chastening. I think of instruction or training as the establishment of guardrails on the path of life to help you stay on the right path. We as parents are called to raise our children up in the nurture, that's the word training, nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, the Lord helps us, and we as parents are to agree with the Bible of the establishment of guardrails on the life for our children to help them walk in His ways. And so the Word of God is profitable for you and me in that it guides us and keeps us on the right path. What is the path? Because you could have all kinds of different paths. The text tells us. It's instruction in what? In what? Okay, I want you to see that. It's instruction in righteousness. It is a very specific direction. It is not just some aimless direction that you get to choose, multiple choice. I want to go this way, this way, this way, or this way. No, it's one path for you, Christian, and it's in righteousness. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is God's standard. God is the one who establishes that. God is the one who establishes what righteousness is. You see, God wants us to be successful for His glory. We need to keep in our minds the vision of Jesus Christ. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Who's the He? Jesus. I love the Gospels because it brings to life Jesus and how He walked on this earth, God in human flesh. And we got to see how God lived righteously. And from that point on, we are able to look back and say, this is God's standard of righteousness. Even the Old Testament, God revealed His standards to His people. And we can understand what His standards and expectations were for them. God is holy and righteous. And that ought to be the quality of your life and mine. We must not be content in living what you may or some may think a mediocre Christian life. Because I want to submit to you that a mediocre Christian life is a more of a problem than a help. It's a hindrance. God wants holy lives. God wants righteous living. This concept is throughout the New Testament of righteousness. Listen to a couple passages. And Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 6:33 said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul was preaching in Athens in Acts 17 verse 31. He says, because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. That's the standard of the judgment of God, his righteousness. Not yours, not mine, his. And by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, it's God's righteousness that will be the standard of judgment. Paul challenged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Are you following after righteousness? You know what? The Word of God will help you. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Lord, will you help me? The Word of God's ready to help you. It's right there, ready to guide you. Lord, guide me. But remember, it's his righteousness that's the path, that's the focus. The vision for our life is not for us to become bigger and better, but for us to be more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, it's profitable. God's word is profitable. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we come across this last part of this passage, I believe maybe you're like me, that we've stopped and we've hesitated because we say, man of God. I don't know that I'm a man of God. In the text, Paul is calling Timothy a man of God. That's the assumption in the text. You are this man of God. And listen, believers, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to live as a saint because that's who you are. A holy one, one who has been set apart through Jesus Christ alone. This is your state as you live in Christ. And so therefore, you are a man or woman of God. This text wants you to live that life. And the Word of God is what equips you to do that. Understand your true identity, Christian. Too often Christians are living a life and they're not really embracing who they truly are in Christ. It's sending a confusing message to the world and to their fellow brothers and sisters. Live as a well-equipped man or woman of God. That means you need his word. May it be a priority in your life. Live with the confidence that you are focusing on the most needful part, God and his word. You see, your identity is a well-equipped man or woman of God. Your mission is what? All good works. Yeah, God has work for you to do. And you might say, well, Pastor, I got a lot of work to do too. Listen, stop segmenting your life and allow God to be a part of every aspect. If it's milking the cows, involve him in that work. And look for opportunities and ways for you to bring him glory in the opportunities of milking those cows? Is it working in your office? Is it working in the garage? Is it parenting your children? Whatever your life entails, allow God to be a part of it. Say, this is God's part and this is mine. Because that causes all kinds of confusion. And it certainly can send a confusing message to the world. Be all in. Every part of your life. All good works. Did you know that's why you're saved unto good works? You weren't just saved so you had this satisfaction of, oh, I don't have to go to hell. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. No, listen, God has saved you so that you can live for him, shine a bright light for his glory. Why? So that other people might know of him. And the Bible does tell us about the glorious future of being together with him. But now is the time for salvation. And now is the time for us to accomplish the mission of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you busy about that? Or is your life a hindrance to that message? There ought not to be a conflict. So, next time you open the Word of God, it is my prayer, and I believe it is the truth of the Word of God, that you come with an anticipation, a hunger, a longing, knowing that you're doing the most needful part. Even if you don't even feel like it, the truth is you are. Push through those feelings and say, I need this. I need this time with God. And then anticipate, Lord, you're going to teach me something, or you're going to convict me of something, or you're going to set me back up with some area of my life, or you're going to guide me. And you can count on it that God's word will accomplish this in your life, and it will be profitable. Take it to the bank. It's his word. It's what he says. Count on it. Anticipate. Have this expectation. His word is profitable for my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for this clear truth and for challenging our hearts with it today. In Jesus' name, amen.